Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Automation Alley. My name is Ken Rogers, Executive Director of Automation Alley. Automation Alley is the state's largest technology business association and one of the largest in the country. We focus on workforce and business development initiatives. We attract creators and consumers of diverse technologies from a variety of industries from around the world. Founded by Oakland County Executive Al Brooks Patterson, our organization has grown dramatically from 44 members in 1999 to more than 875 companies scattered throughout Southeast Michigan. Our members are representatives from business, government, and education. The Alley conducts trade missions for local companies as well as providing seed funds to new and emerging companies. To date, our trade missions have garnered more than $130 million in international business contracts while creating more than 100 new jobs. Our trade representatives just returned from China and Vietnam this Saturday and will be heading to Brazil this fall. Over the last 3 years, the Alley has provided support to more than 300 startup companies and invested nearly $3 million to assist companies in commercialization of new technologies. To date, 18 companies we have invested in have created 150 new jobs in Michigan. This morning, Congressman Joe Nolenberg will share with us his plan that will make the automotive industry more competitive. Congressman Nolenberg has been a longtime friend and supporter of Automation Alley. This atrium that we're in today is the result of a federal grant that was sponsored by the congressman to allow us to have meetings for our members in this building. And last year, we had over 5,000 of our members meeting in Automation Alley, and many in this room as a result of that grant. The congressman also worked with the Department of Labor to secure a grant for Automation Alley's Advanced Manufacturing Training Center. The grant provides free training to qualified workers with an emphasis on math and science. The program offers workers a core curriculum for high-wage technical manufacturing careers, the types of careers critical for a knowledge-based economy. We appreciate the leadership that the congressman brings to this region, and we look forward to working with him in the future. With that being said, please join me in welcoming Congressman Joe Nolenberg. Congressman.
Kenny, thank you very, very much. I'm delighted to be here this morning, and I think that you'll find what we have to present to you being very interesting. It's somewhat bold, but it's something I think that has to happen if there's going to be any change in the attitude of the federal government and also in how we go about becoming successful. And I wanted to thank Brooks in particular, but Kenny, thank you. I know he has to run out of here, but Ken has been a great friend because he's allowed us to utilize this location for a number of activities. And it is Automation Alley is something that is not just known by people in Oakland County. It's known around the world now because of what they do. And they do some great, great things. But I want to thank both Ken and Brooks for being here, and you'll hear from Brooks a little later. I want to thank also the auto companies that are here. You will hear from them as well shortly. Now, the legislation that I'm unveiling today, you can look at the PowerPoint here as we move through it, is part of my efforts to grow the new Michigan economy. We all know the challenges the hometown auto industry faces, and we all know these were exacerbated by the new unfunded CAFE mandate. Washington has added a staggering number of costs to the auto industry at a time when it's struggling. It's like kicking somebody when he's down, or like throwing an anvil at somebody who's drowning. How expensive is CAFE? The estimates say something like $85 billion. That's for the big three. And by the time all is said and done, that would be about 2020. It's simple economics. The costs will be passed on to the consumer in a combination of higher prices and a car lineup that may not reflect their natural preferences. In other words, the consumer may be left out in this whole situation. I thought the Detroit papers nailed that issue on the head. And as you can see in these editorial excerpts, Washington has put a mandate on the auto industry and just the auto industry. Washington is determining what cars consumers will be able to buy and putting the families and jobs that rely on the auto industry at risk. I think it's only reasonable that the federal government take smart, reasonable steps in the development of alternative fuels. But in Michigan, we hear and know enough about the problems. That's why I and everybody here, I believe, on the Big Three side is working for solutions. We have to implement a plan that moves us toward greater efficiency without putting auto jobs on the line and without hurting the tremendous strides the Big Three are making in their turnaround plans. Today I'm introducing the new Big Three Act. It's a bold, as I mentioned, and innovative plan that will help us achieve all these goals. It is nothing close to a bailout. It's a plan that brings government and industry closer together to focus their respective strengths and fulfill their respective obligations. This is about jobs. Michigan jobs, of course, they matter to me, they matter to you, they matter to all of us. But it's also jobs across the country. It's also about using the existing R&D strength that exists in Oakland County, something that Ken Brooks and I worked together on to build. And one thing about the R&D, it's the something like $16 billion is consumed or spent by the auto industry. That's more than any other industry, more than any other, and it's located here in Southeast Michigan. Next is an item that's step one in the process of what's in this package. It has to do with the refundable R&D tax credit. When a firm is operating at a loss, it is not eligible for the R&D tax credit. Thus, the alternative fuel research being done by the Big Three is not eligible for the credit. But R&D is exactly what the federal government is demanding of the auto industry. Billions of dollars of R&D. It's critical and it's only fair to make the R&D credit available for use on alternative fuel research. This applies to both the auto industry and any other supplier working on fuel R&D. Step number two, advanced batteries. Batteries are one of the most important and one of the most promising alternative fuel options in the near future. The federal government is already working on this type of technology. My plan expands and focuses these efforts to move quickly toward the next generation of battery hybrids. And the goal is to establish public-private partnerships between industry, universities, and the federal government. Step number three is hydrogen. This is more of a long-term thing, but I think hydrogen is one alternative fuel that I find, and I'm sure you do, you find promising for the long term. The key to making hydrogen work is to put the infrastructure in place. And the plan I have would create two test regions that would each receive 100 hydrogen pumps at existing gas stations. Right now, I don't know if you can find, there are a couple, I'm sure, but where would you go? You'd have to have directions. Don't call MapQuest either, I don't think they know. Biodiesel, number four, is a tremendous new technology, but it's being produced without any sort of uniformity. And that means that not every blend can be used in every biodiesel engine. Developing a harmonized composition standard will allow the spread of usable biodiesel nationwide. Step five, the Interagency Task Force on CAFE. You often heard the story about the relevant committees, the significant committees in Congress don't necessarily talk to each other. A lot of people don't talk to each other in the same committee. And the final step here is that there's a lot of federal agencies that work on automotive issues, automotive energy issues. These entities should be talking with each other frequently. and to ensure that they are working together to best address the needs of the industry and the country, I've incorporated into the plan that we have here a requirement that they come together collaboratively once a quarter and report publicly to the Congress. I think it's a good way to make effective use and efficient use of taxpayer dollars. The end results. In the end, I think everybody wins. This is a responsible plan that matches federal actions with the federal government's CAFE mandates. I believe it's good for the economy, it's good for the environment, it's good for the country, and quite honestly, it's good for our future. Let me conclude with the final picture of things, the new Michigan economy. We have a vision, and incidentally, I want to point to Brooks Patterson, who has done some marvelous work, and Kenny, who had to walk out the door, marvelous work over the years to bring about a change in what we can do and doing on our own. They're doing this, by the way, without any federal help. Oh yeah, there's a little bit here and there, but it has nothing to do with the kind of work that they're doing. This particular facility may have come into being because of my lending a hand, but the point of this particular facility right here, not the entire building. But we have to look at ways that we can work together, and Brooks has been doing this for a long time, particularly with the incorporation of some, 800 organizations that belong to Automation Alley?
Nine.
So there's a great show of force just in the strength of Automation Alley and what they've been doing for the last several years. We have a vision, we have a plan, we're moving forward toward a new Michigan economy. We now have to keep fighting to make our plans and our ideas realities for families in this region and the state. We want to keep this quality of employment, certainly quality of people that are here now. We want to keep them here so that we can spread them around in some of the other activities that are going on. This plan should be and will be, in my judgment, a huge shot in the arm to grow our new Michigan economy. This will help improve life for families here in Oakland County, because it will bring new investment and new jobs to Oakland County. This is really all about the economy of the future. And I'll conclude. I look forward to having any questions that you may have later. And at this point, I want to bring up the major visionary in this area, the guy that runs the county and a few other things. Our greatest, I think, strength in this area, Brooks Patterson. Brooks.
Thank you, Joe, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I suppose some people sit around and curse the darkness. And Joe, on the other hand, chose to, obviously light a candle this morning and address, to the extent possible through federal legislation, the impact of those very, very, I think, onerous and dangerous CAFE standards. And I commend Joe. I welcome all of you here to Automation Alley. Kenny's my deputy and done a good job expanding since we started this in, I think it was 1999, so up to 875 companies, pushing 900, and that's all been done in a rather tough economy, so appreciate Ken's job and that of his staff, and I want to thank all of you for being here in this building. Appreciation to Joe for his support, bringing this about, and media, thank you for coming out this morning to hear Joe's plan. Here to support Joe. He's been a good friend and I think a great congressman over the years that I've known him, and I want to make sure that I go on record in support of his new legislation, which hopefully will have a lot of co-signers when you introduce the legislation in Washington, because it's good for Michigan and it certainly is, I think, good for the global economy if we can support the Big Three. I'm a product of the Big Three. My dad was with Chrysler for 43 years, and so I have a vested interest, and interest of full disclosure, I will tell you that my background. I think the reason I like this legislation, first of all, it's a positive step, is that it really taps into one of our natural strengths we have here in Oakland County in this region. That's R&D. I don't know if members of the media are aware of this or not, but Michigan ranks second in the nation when it comes to R&D spending. And Oakland County has basically one-third of all the R&D spent in the state of Michigan are spent on the facilities that do R&D here in the state. So one-third of the entire effort is really spread across these 910 square miles. So it's a real significant part of our local economy. To drive this home, I think Joe Tapper used the same number. There's $16 billion spent by the U.S. automotive industry on R&D on an annual basis, and $12 billion of that, it's about 75%, is spent right here in Southeast Michigan. So R&D investment comes from the big three. It's a major industry for us. And this legislation taps into that natural strength that we have, and obviously has a benefit to, I think, support and hopefully solve some of the burden, lift some of the burden imposed by the new CAFE standards. This is really, I think, Joe-inspired legislation, extremely timely, and it really gets into one of my emerging sectors, and I'll talk about that very quickly, but we're talking about alternative fuels and power generation. And you saw on the screen, we have opportunity here to develop alternative fuels with this kind of R&D spending. But also, which is really important, as Joe explained, that they can now begin to get some of the benefit of an R&D credit under this legislation, which they can't under the existing law. And that will help the development of advanced battery research, the biodiesel, the hydrogen fuels, and so forth. This legislation, as I just said, really complements my program for emerging sectors. We try to look out and find where are the sectors of economic growth for the future in this county. And back in 04, actually 03, we researched it and we launched in 04 10 sectors of future economic growth for Oakland County. And one of those sectors is alternative energy. So this complements very, very strongly what we think is a huge growth sector for jobs and quality of life incomes and attracting the knowledge-based economy and jobs to Oakland County. Right now, the Emerging Sectors Program that we launched, and many members of the media may be aware, we had a news conference about 10 days ago, we now have attracted $1 billion of new investment just within those 10 sectors, and 10% of that billion is alternative energy. $100 million have come to us in the last 3 years as we seek to really diversify the economic base of Oakland County. So this legislation Joe proposes really sort of taps into what we're already involved in, what Automation Alley is involved in, certainly what my Emerging Sectors Program is involved in, as we try to shape this county and get it really launched on the right track for the next 50 years. We're trying to create jobs. We're trying to support our major companies that have been here for 50, 60 years, in some cases right here in this county. And they've really been carrying the weight for Oakland County, Michigan, all these years. And there's a certain opportunity now to continue that kind of work and jobs if they get the support that they need. This is not a handout. It's just an opportunity for them to take advantage of what other companies can take advantage of. And they're spending more than anybody else doing R&D. So this would, I think, encourage more of that spending and give them a payback. So I applaud Joe for the legislation. And it's important for Oakland County, Joe. And once again, I think you've delivered, as you have so many times, for this region with your leadership. And I hope this legislation goes through without much to obstruction. I don't see anybody why they would not be in favor of something like this. It would help help our three of our great companies here in America, the big three. So I'll do what I can from my vantage point through Automation Alley, through our Emerging Sectors Network. With that, I'd like to ask Bob Babick, who is with General Motors. We actually have representatives from all the big three here. I'm anxious to hear their comments on Joe's legislation. First, a representative from General Motors, Bob Babick.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Bob Babick. I'm Director of Vehicle Emissions Issues for General Motors. And first of all, I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. Want to thank the Congressman for his efforts in supporting Michigan, and most importantly, I'm here today to applaud Congressman Nuhlenberg's proposal to focus the government's efforts on supporting the development of advanced technologies. Now, these technologies are critical to continue improvements in vehicle efficiency and to allow for greater diversification of fuels to propel transportation. Support for advanced batteries for plug-in vehicles, support for hydrogen infrastructure needed to continue supporting hydrogen fuel cell development are just two examples of how this proposal can help during this critical time in the development of these technologies. In the coming years, the entire auto industry will continue to make tremendous investments in new technology to increase efficiency and to reduce greenhouse gases. The Congressman's proposed legislation would ensure the ability to utilize all the research and development tax credits that companies qualify for to help accelerate these investments. Congressman's bill recognizes the importance of a vibrant and competitive domestic auto industry to our nation's economy, and the bill will help accelerate market acceptance of these advanced technologies and alternative fuels. As GM moves forward on the development of things like fuel cell technology and the continued development of our Equinox fuel cell vehicle under our Project Driveway, we're launching 100 vehicles, placing them in consumers' hands to get real-world feedback from consumers as we continue to develop this technology. We gather those learnings so we can then apply them to our next generation of technology. And to support that future generation of technology, we're going to need additional hydrogen infrastructure in targeted areas throughout the country to help accompany the introduction of that next generation of fuel cell vehicle technology. As GM continues to work on development of an extended range electric vehicle like the Volt, continued R&D on batteries and other components serves us by strengthening our knowledge on the technology and then thereby creating opportunities for us to improve design and helping us look at ways to reduce costs with each iteration of design. In the case of plug-in vehicles, we still need development of battery packs that will be required, and we need U.S. production of those battery packs. As GM continues to develop advanced technologies to address the challenges facing us today, whether it be rising fuel prices, the need for energy alternatives, and the need for energy security, these future technologies are very critical to addressing these issues, and Congressman Muhlenberg is steering us in the right direction. Thank you. And with that, I want to pass it over to Fred Hoffman with Chrysler.
Thank you, Bob. It is a pleasure to be here at Automation Alley in the Ken Rogers atrium. As a past president of Automation Alley, I have a particular point of pride that this building was built with much help from Congressman Muhlenberg and from the obviously the county executive, and it serves as a pillar and an anchor for the revitalization and transformation of the economy of this region, and we're just delighted about that. Thank you so much, Congressman, for all you've done in that direction. Thank you too, and I'm here. Usually the big three are battling each other, whether it's for headlines or whether it's for car sales, but today I don't think there's an inch between us in terms of our support for the Congressman's legislation. Congressman actually developed the legislation in close contact with all of our key staff people in saying, what do you need? I mean, this is kind of a rare thing for a politician to come and say, what do you need? But that's what Congressman Muhlenberg did in this particular case. And this is something that is much in the public interest. We're moving from one type of manufacturing economy to another type of manufacturing economy. And what we need to do is to have our government help us in the same ways that other governments help other companies. And the issues that the Congressman is addressing here, particularly the fairness of the tax credits on R&D, the stimulation of R&D, simply help us move further in the direction that the public wants us to move, and certainly Congress and public officials want us to move, and that is to a cleaner environment through our section of the economy and the transportation sector. So the things that Joe is doing in this bill are very, very helpful to the auto industry. They're helpful to Chrysler. They're helpful to families all over the country. Many of us think that the auto industry is just Detroit. Well, if you look at any one of our footprints, you'll see that we are located through our dealers and through our suppliers and through our retirees in every single corner of this country. And I often hear our senior people talk about the fact that our little company all by itself, we've got about 1 million mouths that rely on our success for their daily bread. And when you think about that, this is a pretty important thing that we're doing. This is something that takes us not just to improve our industries, but also to improve the next generations that come behind us. So we're delighted to stand here with our colleagues, with my good friend Bob Babick at GM and Charlie Pride at not that Charlie Pride, but this Charlie Pride, who is a great friend and does Ford work in Lansing, to stand solid and tall to be supportive of the Nolenberg plan, and we'll do everything we can to help you lobby for it and hopefully get it enacted in its entirety, and if not in its entirety, in key pieces, so that we see this platform become law. Thank you and God bless. Charlie Pride.
Good morning. It's true, I'm Charlie Pride. And first, I'd like to thank Ken Rogers for leaving early this morning. But I'd also like to thank him for this beautiful atrium, and thank Brooks Patterson for this great place and this great organization. But most importantly, this morning I would like to extend Ford's deepest thanks to Congressman Joe Nolenberg, who is a great friend of Ford Motor Company and the auto industry. And Congressman Nolenberg's Big Three proposal is further evidence of his history of support for the auto industry. As he said, Congressman Nolenberg's proposal would provide critical help to the auto industry as we meet the challenges of moving forward with advanced powertrains in the midst of intense global competition. Among a number of helpful initiatives, as both Bob and Fred have talked about, is the refundable credit for research and development. And make no mistake, research and development is the key to competitiveness. And as we both, and as everyone has said, that research and development is mostly done here in Michigan. Additionally, Congressman Nolenberg's proposal provides strong support for advanced battery development, which will help Ford build on our successes. Successes like the E85 Escape Hybrid, which I drove here today and which is in the circular drive. The E85 ethanol Escape Hybrid vehicle is just one example of Ford's efforts to address the twin challenges of energy security and climate change. The vehicle successfully combines two petroleum-saving technologies, hybrid electric power and flexible fuel capability. What this means is when running on E85, which is 85% ethanol and 15% petroleum, this vehicle is effectively getting more than 200 miles per petroleum gallon. Certainly a boost to both energy security and fuel economy. Ford is presently researching many more technologies with equal, if not more, impressive gains, like our plug-in Escape Hybrid. Congressman Nolenberg's proposal will provide tremendous help to the auto industry as we move forward to meet these challenges of energy security and climate change in a globally competitive market. And I think that's the end. And if there's questions for Congressman Nolenberg or County Executive Patterson, I'm sure they'd be happy to take them.
Could we have all of the those who spoke, the big three, Brooks, obviously yourself too, Charlie,
come forward. And if there are questions on any topic, any issue that was brought up here by one of the speakers, we'll be happy to respond to that. Yes, sir.
Hi, Congressman Jeff Wilbert from WJ. Yeah. If you could just talk about how much this would cost and also how confident you are of getting bipartisan support in an election year.
Sure. Right here? Okay, yeah, I better talk into this, right? Yeah. I'm confident that there will be support for this. Can I tell you exactly how many people will come on board? I don't know just yet, but I also know you have to work both sides. You've got to work with the Democratic side, who happen to be those in charge of Congress. And I see a lot of people that are out there that would support something like this, particularly if the auto industry comes on board themselves, which they have. And they've been here solid this morning to indicate their support for this. Your other question had to do with
total cost.
There's two or three areas, for example, the lithium-ion battery. That's a five-year program. It's $150 million a year, which comes to about $750 million. And if you're going to estimate what the R&D credit would be, that's probably in the neighborhood of $3.5 billion a year. And I might remind you, too, and I know you know, that we're the only industry, the auto industry is the only industry that has been focused on to go after with respect to this mandate. No other industry that I'm aware of has had any pressure. So we're alone in that regard, and that's one more reason why. And by the way, we're not just starting this. This has been in place for some time, these innovative fuels. So I think that we're up and running and moving, and so we've got something already to talk about in terms of some success. So,
if I could ask one question, the beach representative of the big three, it would be, if there's one thing that Washington could do to help you meet these fuel economy regulations, and just taking it a step above this one panel, if there's one thing you need from Washington, what would it be?
I'd say help on the technology side, and whether it's through the tax credits or through pre-proprietary R&D support to get us to the place we need to be in terms of technology.
Yeah, I would echo Fred's comments. You know, we're bringing out a lot of different technologies, whether it's advanced plug-in vehicles, hybrid vehicles, fuel cells. And with that development of technology, one of the things we need to do is keep going through iterations of the design, try to drive down those costs, because the only way these technologies are going to make a big benefit to the environment, to energy security net, is to get them out in the marketplace and get them out there so that the public can embrace them. So policies that help us get there are what we're looking for.
Again, I'd like to echo both GM and Chrysler, but go one step further, and that is the research and development refundable credit is really key. We spend tremendous amounts of money. We spend more than the pharmaceutical industry on research and development. The other thing is battery development. High-intensity battery development is a key part of moving forward on our energy needs. Both in terms of the automobiles, but also I think in terms of the electricity and utility sector. So I think those two things, help on those things, would really help the United States move forward and the auto industry move forward.
I think the recall of Nancy Pelosi would make a significant step forward.
Yeah, Charlie.
Yes.
Yes. Any other questions?
Non-media question. Anybody, one of our guests here from Automation Now, have a question?
We're trying to drum up activity back there, so.
Listen, let me close it off then. Joe, thank you so much for calling this news conference. Gentlemen from the Big Three, thank you for your time out of your schedules to come here to support this very important legislation, and thank you all for joining us here at Automation Alley this morning for this very important development. Thank you.
Nice
meeting you as well.
Why don't you get everybody
get my coffee down.
Can I ask you about that?
Sure.